Welcome to the teaching ministry of First United Methodist Church and Pastor Steve Kedon. We offer these messages in the hope that the Word of God will comfort the hurting, confront the comfortable, and create new life in us all. Let us now join together and offer our lives to God in worship.
Track of making sure I'm on the same place with the slides. And I need to give you a brief introduction. Denise has had to endure a lot. We were married in February. Her sister broke her leg at the reception. A month later, her father tried to hurdle the dog and broke his leg. And then I was walking down the steps on our way to church on a Sunday morning and took a wrong step and ruptured my quadricep tendon. So for the last 3-4 months, she has been caring for invalids everywhere she goes. So we're going to try to see if we can make this work. The House of the Carpenter is a mission project affiliated with the United Methodist Church. It is a conference advance special, but it is also a national advance special. We are recognized through the General Board of Global Ministries as one of the projects that serves beyond the bounds of the annual conference. We also serve into East Ohio and into the Western Pennsylvania Conference. And if we can move the slide. The building on the left is our current building. It was put up in 2000. The building on the right is where the House of the Carpenter actually started, and it is now our guest house. We have almost finished refurbishing it to house work teams as they come in and go out and go through the area. If we can roll the slide again. I want to depress you, and I guess that's probably the best way to describe it. These numbers were provided to us by Job's Daughters International, and these are the numbers that reflect the life of children and teenagers in the United States. And this is a daily counting, if you'll roll the slide. 3 children in the United States will die today from the effects of child abuse, and 9 will be murdered. We'll roll it. 13 will die from firearms, whether they've come into contact with one accidentally or by a violent act. 110 are going to attempt suicide, and if you want to call it successful, 8 of them will succeed in the attempt of suicide. 1,115 will have an abortion. 1,340 will give birth to their first child. And we have numbers, but we didn't put them up for those who are having a second and third child while under the age of 18. I don't know if you just saw the latest report that came out that said teenage pregnancies are declining across the country except in North Dakota and in West Virginia. And we currently have the highest teenage pregnancy rate in the country. We have in some counties in West Virginia a teenage pregnancy rate that is at 96.4 per thousand, almost 1 out of every 10. If you'll roll a slide, 27 will die directly from the effects of being in poverty, and 2,255 are going to drop out of school, and the two of those are very closely tied together. If you'll roll this one more time. 202 are going to be arrested on alcohol-related charges. 340 will be arrested on drug-related charges. I want to give you, we don't have this on a slide because we just now been working on putting together the statistics and the image. I want to draw a picture for you of Wheeling Island. The island literally is an island sitting in the middle of the Ohio River. It is less than a mile long and less than a quarter of a mile wide. On that little strip of land, there are over 2,100 residents. Between 400 and 500 of them are under the age of 18. On that island, we also have one casino, the dog track and the gaming tables that are there. We have 12 other establishments, whether they are bars, restaurants, convenience stores, that are operating primarily out of the video lottery income. The convenience store on the island no longer cares what they can sell as part of the store. That's irrelevant. They're making over $750,000 a year on their three video lottery machines. They make more on those than they do on anything they sell, so they're not worried about selling anything. It's just enough to keep the doors open to run the video parlor that's there. One casino, we have 12 of those. We have four additional bars and one strip club on the island. We used to have a laundromat, but it got shut down because it was laundering more than clothes, it was laundering money. And how anybody can think that $1 million a year comes out of a laundromat on the island, I don't know, but they got shut down because they were laundering money for an organization out of Cleveland. And so that is now gone. We have two fast food restaurants, one school, and we have four churches. And the four churches combined, this congregation this morning, I've been trying to do a rough count, you have more here than three of those congregations have combined on a Sunday morning. All told, all four of them average less than 100 people on Sunday morning. In our district, the Northern District, the region we serve, there are more children and youth under the age of 18 than there are seniors over the age of 65. 10% of our seniors are living in poverty, while 24%, almost 25% of the children are living in poverty. If we can roll this over. We're pulling this up based on the single mother because of the number of teenage mothers. 53% of those in the island region who are single mothers are living below the poverty level, below $15,130 a year. Now, that's the federal poverty standards. The Centers for Women's Issues, if you roll this, came up with a self-sufficiency standard, and you can go research this. This is broken down county by county throughout the entire country. To actually live in Wheeling for a single mother with one child, that's what it actually cost. If 53% are under 15,000, how many more are under 21? And you need to understand, part of the changes that is taking place is the fracking that is happening. We have an increasing number of homelessness, and by definition of homelessness, this is people who are moving in with other family members because they can no longer afford the rent on the property. The drillers and pipeliners that are coming in are receiving $80,000 plus salaries in addition to receiving $45,000 a year for living expenses. All of a sudden, rent in the Wheeling area has gone astronomical. An apartment that rented for $400 a month a year ago is now renting for $1,300 to $1,400 a month. We're seeing a lot of folks who are being forced into an apartment or a home designed for one family is now housing two and three families because they can't afford to go anywhere else. If we roll the slide over. One of the things I get said, and I'm in about 30 to 40 churches a year, that I hear is from the image when Mary was anointing Jesus' feet in preparation for his death, that he made the comment, but you will always have the poor with you, when Judas is complaining that this wasn't sold and the money given to the poor. And I hear this quoted to me quite often, but they ignore another line that he said, that Jesus mentioned to them, is that whatever you do unto the least of these, my brothers, my sisters, you have done to me. And maybe what's more important, if you flip over, is what you haven't done to me as well. The mission of the House of the Carpenter, if we can flip it over, we've redefined this. I've only been in the director's position for the last 2 years. And we have redefined this, and we have three obligations. One is to meet the basic needs of the folks who come to us. Two, provide them opportunities to learn skills to make their lives better. Three, introduce and disciple them in the faith of Jesus Christ. And let me show you some of the ways that we're doing. Basic needs is a food pantry. And what you describe for your food pantry is incredible. We have taken ours, and it's multifaceted at this point in time. The food pantry itself we have set up as a type of grocery store, if you will, that we are encouraging the folks who come to us to make choices as what they will take and how they will use it. Now, they just can't walk in and take whatever they would like. There are sections, and you can make choices out of these areas. Because we've discovered that if we decide what we're going to give you, they'll sort through it as they leave the building, and half of the stuff will be left outside. Once it's left outside, we can't give it away again. So it became much more efficient for us to give them the options, what you will take and what you will use. We've also been able to negotiate with the Kroger's that is in our region, with the Mountaineer Food Bank, and with Giant Eagle, Respects, and a couple other folks. This food pantry is able to have staple items that we purchase on an ongoing basis. It has items that are variable that we get through the Mountaineer Food Bank. And through Kroger's and Mountaineer Food Bank, we have meat and dairy and produce and bakery items here. This last year, you'll see in the little insert we gave you, we distributed over 320,000 pounds of food. And that's, you know, on a daily basis throughout the course of a year. And did that for less than $100,000. So we're really very pleased with what we're able to do there. And we feed between 500 and 600 families a month, is who comes to us. We also operate, the bottom picture you'll see is a mobile food pantry. This is through a grant that we are able to get a truck, a semi-tractor trailer load of food, usually between 10 and 12,000 pounds. But the way the grant stipulates is we can get this and we have 3 hours to distribute it to 350 families. We're not allowed to bring it in the building. So it takes us 60 to 75 volunteers to be able to set this up and distribute it. And so far we've done it twice and been able to do it within the guidelines that are set as part of the grant. If you're over, we have a thrift store that we operate. It used to be a free store. And what we discovered was we were stocking the inventory for a couple consignment shops across the river. The people would come in every morning, they would gather up everything they have, take it over, put it in the consignment shop, and it would become their inventory. The cost, I mean, we're looking at a quarter for anything that you would pick up. The only thing that does, it has slowed down the amount going out to be used in yard sales and in consignment shops. What we receive in income basically pays for the person I have to manage this, and then a little bit more that we're able to put back into the ministry of the House of the Carpenter. Since we've gone to a thrift store, the amount of donations and the quality of donations that we have seen have gone up exponentially, and we're really excited about all that's happening with there. We also provide utility assistance, and we do this in a very strange fashion. We have partnered with West Virginia Saves, and you may or may not know about them. It is a program that is run by the financial institutions in the state. It is a program where if you set up a savings account through West Virginia Saves as a low-income family, whatever you put in that savings account will always be there. There is never a fee charged to a family set up an account through the West Virginia Saves program to encourage people to begin to set money aside. If you come to us for utility assistance, you have to take the class that they offer. It's a 1-hour class on budgeting, money management, saving, credit. If you come back to us a second time, you have to sit down one-on-one with the lady who does our instruction. The effectiveness of this program, I don't know how long Lisa has been doing it, but she pulled up the amounts from West Banco alone. And West Banco, she works for West Banco, she can pull up their numbers where she can't pull up somebody else's. Through the West Virginia Saves, they have been able to establish 3,000 savings accounts over the past several years with a total assets of $7.5 million. So families who had never saved anything before, on average, they're teaching them to put aside a couple thousand dollars, which is quite remarkable. The underwear room, and I'm going to give to Steve an insert down on the display we have. This, when you do the Undie Sunday in October, this is what comes to us. It comes to us from the Little Kanawha District and from the Northern District. And out of that room, we have been able to sort it by gender and by size, and we will provide, on average, 900 children with underwear in the course of a year, primarily during Christmas and during the back-to-school rush. You flip over to our Christmas program, we will have come to us about 500 to 600 children. We're expecting that number to go up. One of the agencies in the valley that has always taken several hundred kids has announced that they will not be doing anything for Christmas this year. So we're expecting our numbers to move from 500 to 600 to 750 for Christmas this coming year. We are very good at cross-referencing that with the other agencies. Granted, I know there's times we miss, but for the most part, we have cross-referenced that and are very comfortable that the children that are being served by one agency and one agency only. Those are basic needs. When you begin to develop life skills, we begin to look at things a little bit differently. One of those was this year, and this, you know, I sent this to you a couple weeks ago, thankfully, before I blew a leg out. This has changed. We have a community garden that is going this year. The potatoes, sweet potatoes, the beans, and everything, you know, they're all up at this point, but you don't have a picture of those. We have one major problem with that. We have been feeding a family of groundhogs. They're looking very good at this point in time. And they are gradually being relocated to greener pastures, but they're not going fast enough. In conjunction with the community garden, on Thursday night will be the first one. We will have our first farmer's market that will be coming in. We've set that up so that it is advantageous for the growers. We're not charging them a fee to come and to sell. We're working with the Wheeling Island Community Association, and they are going to have a $5 donation to come and set up a table. And then the agreement is they will provide vegetables at a cost lower than people can get it in the grocery store. And a couple of our farmers are registered through the USDA that they can accept the WIC and food stamps that people will have as part of the grocery shopping. We've also opened up our first cooking class, and this is one of the largest partnerships we've ever been pulled together. Kroger's is a major part of it. WVU Extension, the DA, Department of Health and Human Resources, Women, Infant, and Children's Program, Northern Community College Culinary Arts Program. We are all hooked together in this in a six-week class that is providing families with a set of cookware, with instructions on nutrition, how to prepare meals, and then with the cooperation from Kroger's, whatever we prepare in the class that day, they will go home and prepare for their families that night. So people are so enamored with the program and what it's able to produce, and we're only halfway through the first class. I picked up a check on Friday that will fund the next class. So and we're working with the agencies to put this into a notebook form that if you wanted to do this with your food pantry neighbors who come to you, we can give you the material and here's how you run the class. So the idea is to make it replicable across the entire region. We also do summer camp. The first camp actually starts tomorrow morning. We have a day camp, we have a resident camp, we utilize Spring Heights. We were having a high school camp this year, but couldn't find anybody to fill in for me as the dean, so that one is on hold. And we're doing a work team camp where the kids that live on the island will get a chance to actually do home repairs for someone else who lives on the island. We have built this around, obviously, first and foremost, the gospel, but we build it around communication, problem-solving skills, team building, and allowing them to see the possibilities that what they normally see every day with the fighting, the domestic violence, the drugs that are on the island, there is an alternative. One of the great needs that I have is for a church, and this is something that you're not capable of doing, but I need someone in Wheeling or on the island, a church to step up and provide a youth group for the kids on the island who can provide a community and a long, ongoing basis of support for these kids. We mentioned the fracking. The other thing that we're seeing quite often is the gangs from Detroit and Cleveland are starting to move into the area because we have literally thousands of young men who are living away from home by themselves who have lots of money to spend. Now, we used to see marijuana and, you know, prescription drugs on the island as a regular part of the community. We're now seeing massive amounts of heroin, cocaine, and what's happening is the gangs are setting up on both sides of the river. And when they're set up in Ohio, they recruit the kids in West Virginia to run as mules for them and distribute things. When the kids get picked up, by the time they get through the paperwork to track down the folks on the Ohio side, they're already gone. And they're doing the same thing in West Virginia. They'll set up in West Virginia, recruit the kids in Ohio. When the kids in Ohio get caught, They come back with the paperwork to find the folks on the Wheeling or the West Virginia side, and they're gone. We are seeing a massive, massive increase in drug trafficking and violent crimes, and we think it's going to continue to get worse over the next year to year and a half. Beyond summer camp, one of the things we do with kids is we have a strings ministry. We are teaching violin and guitar lessons to kids who normally cannot afford to have it through the school system. Is there anybody here as a music instructor? You'll see that there's a vast correlation between music skills and mathematical skills. This is allowing these kids to actually improve in their math scores at school, along with developing the discipline of practicing. And one of our students has been in the program for 6 years, actually performed at a church using a guitar, singing "O Holy Night" for their Christmas Eve service. So that was kind of a neat moment for us. And then we have a home repair projects that we work with. And this is already, you know, in swing for the summer. We've already got some roofing projects that we have done. We've already had some painting. We've got requests for handicap accessibility ramps. And if you've ever put up a ramp, you know it costs about $25 per square foot is what it costs us to build one. And so the teams bring funds for us to work on those. We also work on this. Yeah, summer is our big time, and this summer we're hurting. We have right now 12 teams that we would expect to see on the summer are not going to be there this year. And because we're all going to be in New Jersey working on Hurricane Sandy, you know, repair. But we have requests right now to put in a water line for a woman whose water line ruptured. She didn't realize it. It was saturating the ground, draining out. She has a $3,000 water bill. The city has cut her off, and there's nobody who will replace the line from the meter to her house. So that's one of our requests. We have a request for roofs. We have a request for ramps. We have a request from a family to put a porch, just a small 5x6 section on a porch, because their daughter is a double amputee. She's in a wheelchair. They have a lift they could install to get her up and down, but they need 5 to 6 feet on the porch to be able to make it work. We have developed something different with our work teams in that we now have a spiritual formation component with it that allows the participants in the work team to reflect on what they're doing as part of their own discipleship journey. And then we have the process of introduce and disciple. This is probably one of the hardest things for me to say and is one of the most frustrating. I have more volunteers, if you want to use that phrase, that come to me from Samaritan House, which is the halfway house for children who have already been arrested and are in the system, and they're trying to determine what to do with them. From Bannon House, that is the halfway house from those who are coming out of the Northern Regional Jail. I have more volunteers there than I do from the churches. And we look at it as a massive mission field. And I want to tell you about Kenny. And Kenny came to us about 10 years ago, coming out of the jail. Became so engaged with the ministry and the gospel that when his time was up at Bannon House while he was on parole, he continued to volunteer with us. He became active in a church not far down from where he lived and has been an active volunteer, particularly with the food pantry, and has this marvelous gift of talking to people as he walks with them, and no one ever left that place without having a short prayer or at least a "God bless you" go with them. Kenny will not be coming back to us anymore. He had surgery on Wednesday to repair some of the damage in his eyes from his diabetes. And he is totally blind at this point in time. So as you lift your prayers, put Kenny in there. Because his whole life at this point in time, he's 64, his whole life is turned upside down at this point in time. We use a huddle group each morning to introduce a biblical image of what we're doing and why we're doing it. We have a prayer. We're instructing and teaching and training the staff how to pray with, how to engage the folks that they are there. I'm losing one of my staff people. She's getting married and going back to college in August. And we didn't put the advertisement for the position out anywhere other than in the churches because we wanted somebody of faith to be in that position. The question people bring to me is, where can I help? And let me give you a couple possibilities. As I mentioned, I'm in 30 to 40 churches in the course of any given year. Seldom do I ever hear a prayer concern lifted for any of the mission projects. There's 9 of us. The Burlington or Beckley or Glenwood part. We know they're there, but seldom do we ever pray for them and the ability to pray for what we do. Second is to give. We mentioned that we're an advance special. If you remember the Rainbow Covenant for the mission projects, there was an advance special in the conference. There was an advance special in the national church. We qualify for both of them. The annual conference does provide us for support, primarily in terms of insurance and salary support. What we get in work funds is between $7,000 and $8,000 a year is what we receive from the conference budget for work funds. And our food budget for this coming year is $100,000. So we're responsible for raising that as we go. The third one, which may sound strange, is volunteer. Come up for a day. Let us show you what's going on. Put you to work in the thrift store. If you get there early enough, we got work team projects that take one day. Or come up longer and stay for a weekend. Father's Day, this is probably a sexist stereotype, but those are usually the folks who want to get their hands dirty and actually, you know, have the construction skills. I got a 5 to 6 foot porch that needs to be put in. I got a water line that needs to go in. I've got a roof that needs to be patched. Even if it's for a weekend, we can find a place to put you to work. Those are probably the things that are the biggest needs at this point in time. Edmund Burke was an 18th century Irish statesman who said, all it takes is for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. Well, we're in the midst of the front line of a battle, I think, truly with poverty and with the drugs and with the violence that is there. And while that's a powerful statement, I think the other one that comes from Jesus is even more. And then the king will say to them, I assure you that whatever you have done for one of these, the least of my brothers and sisters, you have done it for me. I don't know how, you know, comfortable you are, but do you have questions that you would like to ask me that I can give you a better answer? We've got set up in the multipurpose room a bingo game for you, if you will. It's not the traditional bingo, but it is more of an explanation of the realities of poverty that will help you get a grasp of the situations a lot of our folks are dealing with. Other than that, thank you for allowing me to come, for the prayers, for the support, and for your presence. You are a gift to us.